Are you ready to do this?
I'm ready to do this thing.
All right, Mr. Bicklesworth.
Bring the pain. Bring it. Hello, Avalanche. La, 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 la. Sorry.
Right, sorry. Sorry. Had to sing for a moment.
Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my man James Tapeley-Gralian and I will celebrate your 13-2 Avalanche team. We'll break down the Steve Downey and Max Talbot deal, and we'll stress the importance of keeping your stick on the ice. Those topics and much more Avalanche and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 84 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen. James Tapeley-Gralian is now going to grunt. That was a good grunt. That was a good grunt.
Oh, no. 1-2, 1-2, keep it on. Listen, I can't do it.
And
it's Beastie
sing.
Boys. It's Beastie Boys. You don't even like the Beastie Boys.
I did. Who said I didn't like the Beastie Boys?
I said it on many message forums. How you doing?
Were people angry? No, I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good.
How bad can we be?
I'm great. Considering
good stuff.
You mean hockey-wise?
Hockey-wise. Great. If there is there need to be, like you heard about, you said that before.
Oh, yeah.
Need to be two of us.
Mm-hmm.
When there is two of us.
What are you talking about?
Maybe four of us. That's how good we are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you read about.
Colorado, yes, on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Colorado Avalanche hockey or something.
The worst intro ever.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's all great. Right. We're keeping it.
Let's get into it. Would you like to start off with anything?
This is episode 84.
You had a jersey number
podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wore 84. We're still a couple episodes away from somebody wearing 84. So, Mitch Love wore 54.
Oh, that's right.
And 54 plus 30 is 84, and that J.S. Chiguer wears 30, right? No, wait, he wears 35, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Damn. Never mind. I screwed that up. Well, it's the I Love Chiguer episode. So.
What's not?
Totally.
Let's clear something. Actually, a couple things. Okay. 84. There's only one player in NHL history that has worn 84.
Really?
And that's Guillaume Lachandresse, which is one of my favorite hockey names. That's
a great
hockey name. But he's not in the NHL anymore.
That's like shoulder blade to shoulder blade name across the back of a...
Absolutely.
Who is it? Who's the guy who played? I think he just got waived by the Islanders, who had like four names, or Minnesota. Can't remember. He had four names. Like, he's a hyphenate, but
whoa,
both names of the hyphenate are ginormous. So it's like,
so it goes Engel like
Blombestein / Erger Sternerdird.
And it starts like mid back and just goes around.
English.
Try and spell that. Longest hashtag ever. So, Guillaume Lachandresse, he's trying to spell it.
Just vamp for a little bit while you do this.
Yeah, that's all I do.
What the other one is. I'm going to have to go back to the tape, and then we're going to have to make a jersey for that.
There's tape. So. There's tape. There's tape leg. Let's talk about Jiggy's name real quick.
Okay.
Because I think things have been pretty much taken care of.
Mm.
But if J-I-G is Jig, and G-I-G is?
Gig. Right.
Why would you spell Jiggy, G-I-G-G-Y?
Because his name starts with G-I-G, right? That's why everybody does it.
But it says Giggy.
Right. So you want to dance a Jiggy.
Hey, everybody, let's dance a Jig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A gig.
I got a new Jig. I got a new Jig, everyone.
I got a gig.
I think it's pretty much worked out because the back of his mask, I think the last couple masks, it says Jiggy with a J.
No, if the guy has it on the back of his mask, right. It's like going to Applebee's and the person serving the table has a name on and it says Anastasia and you keep calling them Jim. That's incorrect. The person wearing the nameplate is right.
Right. So if the back of his mask said Smitty and he says it's pronounced Jiggy, you call him Jiggy.
Call him Jiggy. Thank goodness we got that controversy out of the way, because
I know, geez. I feel so much better. I thought I was going to feel much better after that than I did.
Hey, can we talk about last episode for just a moment?
That's what she said. Yes.
Hey, sorry about the audio issues, folks. I guess it wasn't as bad as I thought it was bad.
I thought it was bad too, but then we posted a little snippet. It was fine. I've listened to it a couple times since then.
So I hope you guys really enjoyed the episode. I know it was pain. I'm sure it came out later than we wanted and all that. So sorry about that, you know.
We'll be better this time.
Yeah. I'd have fixed it probably earlier, except I had to go out of town. And, you know, we had, I liked the episode itself. I liked the content. It's just too bad it had, you know, all that crackle in it.
I did too. It's all right. Sometimes crackle is good.
Cool.
Let's get into this.
We've had eight games since the last podcast.
The Avalanche have won 26 of 30 points as we record this.
Mm-hmm. Which is right before the Washington Capitals game.
We will both be there tonight.
So we'll see you guys there. Oh, you probably won't hear this until
there you go. Game. There it is.
So can we just assume that they win tonight?
Don't jinx it. That's a lot of points. Either way.
Yeah.
A start that was unexpected.
So they are either 14-2 or 13-3 as you guys are hearing this.
That's nuts.
Insane. Or 13-2-1. Are there any other combinations? I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's it.
Good job.
Thanks.
You're one for one on math so far today.
I'm doing the math.
Well, actually, no, you did the math right on the...
This was before that. Yeah.
So they're going to be sitting just fine. They're going to be doing all right. We're happy about that. Mm-hmm. It's fun to watch them play good hockey. It's a different brand of hockey, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how things go tonight and kind of go from there. It's a tough division. We'll talk about the division here a little bit later. All right. Let's get into the games. Are you cool with that tape leg?
Do it. Bring it.
October 19th, the Avalanche beat the Sabres 4-2. This is the game after the Avalanche lost to the Red Wings, which seems like a little bit ago. So a little bit worried about how the Avalanche were going to respond after their first loss of the season. We didn't have to worry very long because the Avalanche outshot and pretty much outclassed the Sabres and outshot them 14-3 in the period. Ryan O'Reilly and Gabriel Landeskog with the two goals in that period.
Mm.
Matt Duchene makes it 3-0 early in the second with a power play goal. Paul Stastny finally scores a goal, make it 4-1. And the Avalanche, the second half of the game, were a little bit on their heels, a little bit flat, but the effort was there. They win 4-2.
Man, those Sabres are so bad. The Sabres are 3-15-1 right now. I think they lost. What, they lose to the Ducks the other night, like 7-1, mm-hmm. something like that. Ryan Getzlaf with his very first hat trick
in the first period.
He almost got a pants trick.
What's a pants trick?
That's 4 goals, and then you do the Joe Thornton celebration. But we can't talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, I remember
the Sabres. Great.
I like Joe Thornton.
The Sabres. They have not won at home.
Oh.
Their goal differential right now is -28, which is only slightly below Tim Thomas and his Florida Panthers, who we're going to talk a little bit about.
Mm-hmm. Plenty to talk about there.
And Edmonton is -26 also. So, but Buffalo, whoo, man, just that's painful. 19 games there, 3-15-1.
How long does Ryan Miller stay?
You know, I think he stays either the season or right to the trade deadline.
Fire sale.
I think he's going to try. Yeah. I think they try and move him, but he's got a limited list that he'll go to, but I bet that list will change as the season goes on and get longer.
Hey guys, my list has grown.
I bet it'll have 25 teams on it by the time it's it's time to trade him.
Everybody not in the division.
Ryan, would you please go over to this team? Yes.
Absolutely.
Not on your please. List. That's okay.
That's okay. I don't have a list. Yeah. What list? I don't know what you're talking about.
There's an edit button on the list, and it's going to get longer.
Yes, it is.
So anyways, yeah, that was unsurprising that the Avs win 4-2.
Good for them. Yeah. They played well. About two nights later, October 21st, so about an hour before the Pens game, Cody McLeod, it's announced that he was suspended 5 games for his hit on Nicholas Cronwall. Which
what did we say?
About.
We said around 3.
Yeah, I mean, we knew it was going to be at least 2 or I think it was at least 3. I think this was the second or third game.
I think we were good with 5.
It was pretty clear that he wasn't going to play in the Pens game based on the in-person hearing. Yeah, it wasn't a shock.
5's a good number.
It's really a nice number. Yeah. It also came out just a little bit after this that Cody McLeod during the first period of the Avalanche Red Wings game went and checked on Cronwall, which is kind of cool. I don't know whether he actually went in the locker room, but obviously McLeod didn't have anything else to do since he was out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He went and checked on Cronwall to make sure he's okay, and that's what hockey players do, even if they're a Red Wing. The Avalanche win the game against the Penguins on October 21st, 1-0. Mm-hmm. Gabriel Landeskog scores the game's only goal and acts like He's done it many, many times, which we all like to see. Jiggy with 34 saves. Stan Neradka on Twitter, at SMN013. A lot of cool stats from him, but you're not overwhelmed by the stats. Jay Shiger shuts out the Pens for the first time at home. Not him himself, but the Pens hadn't been shut out at home since April 12th, 2011. That's 77 regular season games.
That's a long time.
It's a season and a half that they played without getting shut out.
Mm-hmm. At home.
Yep, so good for them. The Avalanche start the season 5-0 on the road. This was their fifth win in a row. They're now 6-0 on the road since this game. Last year, they only won 4 games on the road, period. They were 4-16-4.
They've lost games at home. What the heck's wrong with these guys?
I know. Maybe they should just play on the road forever. But they beat a very good Pens team who was always tough to beat, mm-hmm. and they shut them out. This is the new Avalanche. We like it. So let's keep going. Yes? Are we good? All right. October 25th, the Avalanche beat the Carolina Hurricanes at Pepsi Center, 4-2.
Wasn't there some stat like about how it's been like forever and a decade since the Canes actually beat the Avalanche?
They've dominated throughout their
existence in Carolina.
When I was there, that was probably about 3-4 years ago when I was in Carolina, they got beat in overtime.
They did?
But the other time I watched them in Carolina, I think the Avalanche scored 3 goals.
Was that when you were wearing your coachy jersey and you were on the TV?
Mm-hmm. I was on the television. Hejduk had the only goal that game. Varley, once again, strong, 28 saves. Mm-hmm. I'll save any jokes for that. Varley jokes aren't funny right now. The best of
that was, yeah.
That's about as deep as the jokes are going to get right now. Matt Duchene, basically what I call this was a hockey skills clinic. Matt Duchene, fantastic. I just called it the Matt Duchene Hockey Skills Clinic, and the Canes were invited. They had a front row seat, free mm-hmm. admission. 2 goals and an assist, 7th and 8th of the season for him. Matt Duchene playing like, what's he playing like, James?
He's playing like thunder, light, lit on fire.
Got the thunder and the lightning.
Yeah. No,
he's been fantastic.
You know what he's playing like? He's playing like he hasn't played before. And I think we talked about this on episode 83, the Crackly Avs Hockey Podcast, that Matt Duchene does not look like the Matt Duchene of the past. He's got more tools than he had before. And you know, it's not, it's that he has a shorter stick. It's that he eats, you know, gluten-free.
No gluten.
It's that 100 things, you know, it's a whole bunch of things just kind of converging at once. And this is, what is this, fifth year? This is the fifth season for him. And this is what everybody says. Oh, this is when players start to really come into their own.
Yes, they do.
And he's actually got, and not only is he coming into his own, he's gotten faster. He's gotten better. But he's got more tricks.
Mm-hmm.
He's got more things up his sleeve than he had before.
And I don't think I'll ever get used to what he does during the games. I mean, I guess I'm kind of getting used to him being fantastic, if I can, you know, say it like that.
If you can gush.
Some of them kind of bromance, mm-hmm. you know.
That's okay.
Man crush.
That's okay. I understand.
Yeah? You're cool with that?
Slightly jealous. Not much.
It's just great to watch him do what he does.
Yeah. And it's been better to watch what he does lately because he's doing things that actually surprise us, which before he wasn't. Before it was, oh, there's two defensemen, I'm going to try and go between them. Now there's two defensemen. Oh, cutting to the left, going to wind it up, take it to my feet, and snap a shot. You know, the other night I was watching, and there was that pivot again.
Yeah.
That just beautiful pivot that keeps people away. But it's one of the tricks that you just can't plan for. You know, it's not like basketball where – you know, if you have your weight on one foot, you can go in any direction. And in hockey, it's like once you're going one direction, you have to deliberately change direction. That's hard for a defender when you have a pivot like that. If you just stop, unless you're prepared, you're gonna blow right past a guy.
Duchene's just great at creating space for himself.
Yeah,
that's what he absolutely does, and he keeps getting better at it.
And when we were talking about, we've talked about this before. I don't think it was on the last show. I think this was since the last show. That he cut his stick down a little bit.
Yes.
And
more whippy.
Yep. It's more whippy, but also with a shorter stick, you can puck handle a little easier, a little more comfortably closer to your feet. You have to kind of spread out your hands a little more, get the lower hand closer to the blade of the stick. And it's harder to stick handle near your feet, which means that if it's coming into your feet, chances are you're not going to be as good at protecting the puck.
Right.
And when you have a pivot like that and you're just going to stop and change direction, keeping it in close to your body like that is going to do a lot more to keep the defender's sticks away.
That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic. The Puck Daddy broke down one of his goals, the first game goal of the game. He's behind the net, brought it from his backhand to his forehand, banked it off. It wasn't Cam Ward that night because he was hurt. Whoever the Carolina, Justin somebody. Doesn't matter. Bieber? Doesn't matter.
Justin Bieber?
Yes, he was in goal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nobody knew. It was great. We got Bieber fever.
Cool. Hey, speaking of singing goalies, what was it? The Las Vegas Wranglers goalie who's also the backup goalie for a game. I think this was the Wranglers. They needed an emergency backup, and so they had like this 55-year-old dude in who played in college or something and still played rec league and was a Neil Diamond impersonator.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he can fill in and do Sweet Caroline.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. You can do the seventh inning stretch even though there's only three periods.
When would that happen?
Probably between...
Probably the third commercial break in the second period?
Could be, yeah.
Sweet Caroline.
Drop the puck.
So we'll post that, breaking down Duchesne's first goal, which was sick with a lot of eyes. Third period, great.
Was this the puck where he's skating across the back and just like turned to skate back backwards? And then,
He's doing this fairly often now. And
we got to post a link, post that video.
Yes,
that
it doesn't get old, and he does it a lot, and it worked this time, and it was pretty.
And then Justin Bourne was talking. I think it was right after that, but he was talking about how Mario. I think it was Mario Lemieux would during power plays he would park it right by the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's a soft area that defenders don't tend to go towards, especially right. on power plays, you keep two in front of your net. And the thing was, he could snipe it from that angle and how tight that angle is. And there's that area that's a little tougher to defend. And you know who I saw doing that the other day was Paul Stastny hanging out on that red line.
He's good with that way he can distribute like he likes to. But yep. Patrick Waugh told him to shoot. And he's done a lot of that lately too.
Duchesne was doing that too. He was parking on that. Red line. It's a hard angle.
Duchesne kind of backs it in. It gives him some options. He can go around the net, but he can also go backhand to forehand. Just do a little drag real quick. I mean, it's pretty. Keep looking for it, fans.
You don't need a circus stick like Ryan O'Reilly to make goals at the plays at the goal line.
You don't. You definitely don't.
Anyways,
third period. Matt Duchesne misses the empty net for his hat trick. The puck made its way back to Steve Downey, who was still an Avalanche at the time. But it was great. As we're kind of walking out, the game was over at this point. We're just watching from the top of the stairs. Ryan Riley starts pointing out where Duchesne is because they want to get Duchesne the hat trick, which he had just missed by a couple inches. So that was pretty cool. Hockey players are cool like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all the faux drama that was Ryan O'Reilly and Matt Duchesne don't get along last year. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite evident. That's definitely not the case.
The other night on the bench there at a, like right after a commercial break or a stoppage in play, and they're just chatting.
Absolutely.
Next to each other.
They're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine.
And I want to point out something about that later about like what you were just saying about Downey and O'Reilly. We'll get to that.
Let's do it.
It's a later game.
In a related note, give Avs PR at Avs PR of a follow on Facebook. This is the Avalanche communications department. They do a good job with the stats. I think the Avalanche main feed, which has over a couple hundred thousand followers, I think it's more of a general feed for this one. It's definitely more about the stats and everything. So check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And EJ, Eric Johnson was great on the Carl Kreef worst interviews ever, but EJ was also sitting next to Ryan Wilson as Peter McNabb was interviewing him between in one of the commercial breaks. And as Ryan Wilson's trying to talk, EJ has a stick right in his face. He was actually touching his cheek with it. I love that stuff. And as McNabb went back to the booth, he's like, thanks, Ryan, and thank you, EJ, as well. So it was good stuff.
Well, thanks, EJ. But then as that interview is going on, EJ's on the ice actually playing at that moment.
That's so it's true. Like,
yeah, those are slightly
weird. Those are always a little weird, but
awkward.
Good stuff. Well, way to go, EJ. All right, October 27th, the Avalanche beat the Jets 3-2.
Were you with this game?
I think so. Can't remember. I was. No, I was not at this game. No.
No.
That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
Okay.
Matt Duchesne with a first period goal. There was two occurrences of premature honkage in the first period. Two shots that looked like they should have gone in or
Hashtag ladies.
Hashtag honkage. Premature honkage. But they honked the horn when they shouldn't have honked the horn.
Okay.
They tooted it and it shouldn't have been tooted.
Okay.
I thought that was funny.
Did just play continue anyways?
It did.
Was it like a big long or was it just
sorry. Oh, sorry. Keep going. Whoopsies.
They heard that that really bothered Evander Kane, and they were trying to get into his head.
Itchy trigger finger on the honkage.
Everybody knows that when Bufflin hears a horn like that, he has to go back to the dressing room.
He thinks it's chow
so
time.
So they were trying to get him off.
The Avalanche trail going into the third period for the first time this season. It was 11 games in, so that's always good. Jan Hayda scored another goal. Mm-hmm. He ties it about 12 minutes into the third. The Avalanche defenseman, and I don't think they've had one since, but this is still accurate. The Avalanche defenseman had 5 goals. That's as many as Avalanche defenseman had the entire season last season. Hayda with 2, EJ with 2, and Corey Sarich with 1.
And it took forever. Everybody was just saying,
who's going to score the first one? Well, we were there. Who did you, was it Barry?
Barry, I think.
Yeah. And you called it, and that's when the puck went into the net hole. Net hole?
Net hole? No.
Come on.
No, that's awkward.
They played 48 games last season, and 11 games in, the Avalanche's defensemen have as many goals. So you can talk about some of the moves they made up front, but I think between the coaching and the system, the defense is the one that's made the biggest difference with this team. Paul Stastny scores the game winner in the third. Great feed from Gabriel Landeskog and Alex Tanguay to get Landy the puck. Avalanche outshoot the Jets 17-7 in the third period. Landy ends up with 2 assists on the game. Mark Rycroft, after the game, saying a balanced scoring attack equals winning, and the depth and speed of the Colorado Avalanche are wearing the opposition down. And the Avs looked a little tired. They've had some long breaks in between games, and they've been taking advantage of that. So you'll see the Avalanche's style change just a little bit more. I believe they have 12 games in the next 25 days, and that was a couple games ago. So they're playing a little more hockey, so we'll see how the team reacts.
See if they can keep their legs under them.
Yeah, they looked a little tired last game, but they still won, too, so we can still talk about that. The Avalanche, at this point, are the third NHL team in NHL history to win 10 of their first 11 in regulation.
The other two were?
It's right there. Did you want to say it? I can say it.
You say it.
The 94-95 Penguins, who were 10-0-1, and the 94-95 Nordique, who were 10-1.
You know, the Nordique, they don't exist anymore.
No, they don't. It's just disappeared.
Forsberg's first year with them? Was 94?
94. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Won the Calder.
Something like that.
Avs PR also on Twitter from Elias Sports. The Avalanche are just the 7th team in NHL history to win their first 10 of 11. Same thing. The Avalanche were 20th last season in power penalty killing at this point. They're first. And I believe they still are first, although they've given up a few. That's kind of fun.
That's one I have no idea where to look that up.
If the stats guy, TH2N stats guy, didn't tweet it, I wouldn't know.
Okay.
Give him a follow too. Terry Fry writes a fantastic piece on Patrick Waugh and what these guys think of him and just the change that has been in the locker room. It's been a lot of fun, said Avalanche captain Gabe Landeskog, who was 10 when Waugh retired in 2003. Feeling old. He's a great teacher and a fun guy to be around. I like the fact that he can be himself off the ice. But when it's game time, we're all businesslike and we all have our work. But the best attribute is that he's such a good teacher, and that's the number one priority.
That we talked about a little bit last show, and even more still, players are getting more comfortable essentially slagging the Sacco era. And it's the culture change that we were looking for and everything that's come along with Waugh. But it takes a lot for a professional hockey player, to basically come out and say the way that things were didn't work. You know how it is when like somebody gets traded and it's like, well, we wish them the best. You could have been the worst player ever known to man, and they will still, we wish him the best. We really appreciate all he gave for our club, blah, 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 blah.
Fill in the blank.
But people, players keep coming out and saying, it was like there was no coaching before.
They don't even have to say it. You can tell by the way they play.
Yeah.
But that's as close as they're going to get to slamming Sacco because everybody's professional. But yeah, that's what they're saying. All right. The next big news wasn't a game. I'm sitting in front of my computer, about to go upstairs and get my daughters ready, to go to bed or whatever. And out of nowhere, Denver Police Department, who I follow on Twitter just to keep up with all the great things that are going on in the city. Colorado Avalanche goalie Semyon Varlamov has turned himself into Denver police detectives for domestic violence related charges.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That kind of, then everything kind of happened.
Yep. yep. So that happened. The charges themselves, that kind of thing. Okay. Not going to touch them. Yeah. Not even going to come close.
There's no comment that we can make on it. Absolutely.
And frankly, I'm fed up enough with the way that a lot of the media turns hockey into this kind of TMZ world at times. Mm-hmm. So no, not going to do it. The dude is as anything, you're innocent until proven guilty. And, you know, maybe I'm a little biased because of, being an Avs fan and the fact that he's an Av, but, who knows what happened.
That's all and we can say right now.
Yeah. Nothing about it is 100% clear. So frankly, not even going to touch it.
It's not really our job to even comment on it. I mean, this was huge news. Mm-hmm. He ends up starting the next game, which I think
now might that have been, we can comment on.
I think it might have been good to kind of diffuse the situation. I think he wanted to get. Mm-hmm. He had missed a couple practices, but the court had allowed him to travel. And then on the next day, his bail was set at $5,000. A restraining order was placed against him, and the court said that he could travel. He makes $34,500 a game. So bail was bail. I think. The bail amount might say a little something about how, I guess, worried the court is about anything else happening with
well,
it.
But he's not far. A flight risk. Where's he going to go? If he were to run over this, he'd be so recognizable.
Right.
He would catch him in a heartbeat. It wouldn't matter.
Other than that, I mean, a lot of parallels to the Patrick Waugh domestic violence mm-hmm. thing that happened about the same time in 2000.
Yeah. Some people were pretty upset about him starting the next game, but you know what? If you, no matter what happens, he still has a job to do. And it's not, you know, what happened is not related per se to the hockey game. And, you know exactly what I'm talking about with this, Jay. When you were on Antiques Roadshow,
right,
and you flubbed all those lines and you looked like a fool, you still had to go back to work the next day, no matter how much ribbing your coworkers were going to give you. You still had a job to do.
I couldn't think of a more perfect analogy. That was great. Thank you.
If you can't tell the difference between a porcelain bird and a papier-mâché antique bird,
you idiot.
You should not be on Antiques Roadshow, and they should know that. But you were anyways, and you still had to go back.
I did.
Yeah.
And people left me alone.
And I equate that to the same situation with Varlamov. You and your turn on Antiques Roadshow and him playing goal.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean, I kind of forgot about that whole situation.
Yeah.
But thanks for bringing it back.
No problem. I'm here for you, buddy.
All right. Appreciate that. No word on when a trial will be set. His lawyer said that everything will be worked out in court. And really, nobody's talked about it since. So we'll see.
There's been a little talk, like they talked to his accuser, things like that. But you know what? Hands off.
We'll bring you the facts.
Yep.
Then this was October 31st as well. Mm-hmm. Oh, this was the next day. The 30th, Varlamov turned himself in. October 31st, he was released, and that's when the bail and everything came out. Also on October 31st, the Avalanche traded Steve Downey to the Flyers. Back to the Flyers. He returns mm-hmm. there from Max Talbot.
Mm-hmm.
Talbot, a cup ring, 2 years left on his deal. Downey, an unrestricted free agent after this season. Caught some people off guard, especially with the start that the Avalanche had been on at this point. They had lost one game. So a very interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different places had a lot of comments on this. The stats guy, TH2 and stats guy again. The Avalanche's number one penalty kill in the NHL gets better with the addition of Talbot, who is third amongst NHL forwards in shorthanded time per game. So that's great. Pierre LeBrun was talking about cap hits, saying that Talbot's cap hit would be a little bit less, maybe gives the Avalanche some... I don't know, some different options.
Mm-hmm.
Initial thoughts on the move. Were you angry, mad, sad, everything?
Let him go. Downey to me is kind of, always was one of those kind of interchangeable players, and he was playing on a line that was well above his caliber. It was almost like Dave Semenko / Marty McSorley. not the goonish type thing, but still like, I'm a tough guy on the top line.
Yeah.
You know, playing with guys that, you know,
they were pretty decent.
Yeah. They were okay.
Hey, Wayne, I'm open, bud.
Yeah. No? I'm open. Why aren't you putting the fuck, you know,
I mean, nice 5-point game, but I'm still open. Nobody's covering
me. Marty, just get in front of the net. I'm going to bank it off your backside. Okay. And we'll get you a goal. All right.
Fine. Just point your skate where it needs to go.
But it's kind of the same thing. You got a high caliber, high talent line. Give them somebody to play with. You know, and they were clicking somewhat, but what were my complaints before? The no-look passes that weren't going anywhere, the turnovers.
Ill-advised penalties a little bit. It's easy in hindsight to say. I don't miss all. I mean, the Avalanche has spent a lot less time in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Downey. That's what you get with him. But
he's got his game to play. Now, is his game a first line forward. No,
no, no, it's definitely not.
So they were, I think that there was a bit of a struggle trying to find a place for him to click.
Right.
He clicked somewhat. Then stories started to come out that this was in reaction to something that happened in training camp where he was tripped by Landeskog, and then he hit Landeskog and kind of went after him.
Yep.
And that's not the – and either way, either side of that is not very good because Downey, of course, he had his ACL surgery?
Yeah.
One of the CLs, ACL, MCL, QCL, one of those.
XCL.
That's the extreme.
Collateral ligament.
Pretty extreme.
Yes. Horns.
And so, you know, you don't want to go tripping a guy like that. And that
well, and this was,
get under your skin. But then you also don't go after your captain.
When he's had, on your team.
And who's had concussion problems.
And it was just before Landy was given the big deal. It's very interesting, kind of the dynamics. And you knew something was there if they're going to make this move. I don't think it was strictly salary cap. Maybe you didn't get along with... I can see Patrick Waugh and Downey not getting along. Those two pretty strong personalities.
You there's
can
tell. A lot of hindsight that you could use. But at the same time, I just never thought he was a great fit on that line.
Yeah.
And so now what is that line? It's Parento... Duchesne
and O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Hello.
They're great.
So how about somebody to give them the puck?
Yeah. That's been a fantastic line lately.
Fantastic. And we're going to talk about that in relation to a game coming up.
Yeah. They haven't really missed a beat, the Avalanche. Mark Spector might have said it best on Twitter. Really like Talbot to the Avs. He's a winner who knows how to play in big games, games which appear to be in Colorado's near future.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I do too. I like Talbot when he was with the Penguins.
Yeah.
Less so with the Flyers, but that's because the Flyers were just not.
Yeah. I like what I've seen out of Talbot right now. He doesn't give you, I mean, he's not playing as significant amount as Downey was, but Downey seemed expendable. You can save a little money, a little less time killing penalties, a little less crazy.
Absolutely.
Who knows? I think so far it's worked out. It's he's not Steve Downey. He's not going to replace Steve Downey and bring the points because that's just not his role.
Right.
But if the Avalanche can do that for less money, maybe less drama, whatever. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes?
This is kind of one of those moves that's a little bit like when the Penguins last season, when they were on their big streak, and they bring in Iginla.
Right.
And all I'm thinking is, why are you messing with something that's working? And in that case, you're basically somebody's losing a gig that probably shouldn't.
You mean a jig?
Oh, why do you do that to me?
Hello.
And then to slot in somebody that you don't necessarily know if the chemistry is going to be there.
Yeah.
Don't mess with what works. But in the Avs case with this, you could say, okay, don't mess with what works. But then again, is it a significant piece that's going to have a gigantic influence? With Downey, I think it's less so. With Talbot, I think it's less so because you're talking third, fourth lines.
Right.
With Iginla, somebody who is expected to be a bit of a leader, it's a little more so. So the question becomes, you know, do you mess with what works? And in a way, I'm good. I think it was okay. I kind of looked at it through that lens and thought, let him go. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
He's not core. You know, you bring a guy like Iginla, you're trying to make a new core in a way. So.
People thought he was core. I think we're learning a little bit differently now. And what happens in Steve Downey's first game back? Did you see that GIF? Did you click on that?
Of him getting punched?
Yeah.
No.
You're on the dock, yes.
Go ahead.
Okay, listen to this reaction when he watches this. He gets into a fight with Aaron Volpatti. This was the game where Ray Emery went off to.
Oh, that whole thing.
But in the second period, Downey gets a concussion and facial fractures with here it comes.
Oh!
Yeah, there you go.
Right in the eye.
Yeah. I mean, he was in the hospital for the next day or two. I don't think he's been back since.
Yeah, for those of you that don't follow this, which would be stunning, the Flyers and the Capitals get into a line brawl after 7-0 or something like that.
It's ugly.
Gigantic line brawl. Ray Emery skates the length of the ice to fight Braden Holtby, who does not want to fight.
He's not interested.
And just basically says, well, tough, protect yourself, which is essentially assault.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be something, I think, there has to be some provision for guys who, you know, look, I don't want to do this. I don't want to fight. You know, get the heck away from me. If fighting is supposed to be between two consenting adults, what happens when one doesn't consent?
NHL thought it wasn't that big of a deal. I don't think Emery was even fined or suspended. So,
no. Yeah. And they said there was no provision for that, which is utter garbage. There are rules
yeah.
that the commissioner can add additional penalties to pretty much anything. He has ultimate power in these situations. Great examples would be the Sean Avery rule, where you can't just stand in front of a goalie facing him and wave your stick in his face. And Sean Avery suspension for
Sean Avery provision chapters. Yeah.
For saying bad things about his ex-girlfriend.
Can't do that.
And Dion Phaneuf. And we're just going to leave it at that. And if you don't know, you're going to have to look it up or ask me in person.
Yes. You can find tape like at Pepsi Center. All right. So that's it.
Not my Twitter handle, but you know.
No, it's not. Still. Pepsi Center guy. November 1st, the Avalanche win in overtime against the Stars.
Oh, what a good game.
That was fantastic. I think this is the best way to think about this is this was a game I think the Avalanche would have lost in years past. Mm-hmm. But the style of hockey they're playing now with their new confidence, they're right in the middle of it.
The Dallas Stars turned a major corner this season. They have looked so much better. And mind you, there's been some roster infusion.
Tyler Seguin helps a lot.
Oh, he's been really good, and he has something to prove finally.
Absolutely.
Before he didn't. He was number 2 overall pick. He didn't have he won his cup. He didn't really have anything to prove. And if there is and if there's a team that you don't want to screw around on, it's the Stars, considering, Sean Avery, they shipped him out when they didn't like his antics anymore.
Right.
Just like, well, forget you, buddy.
That's right. So the shocker in this, Patrick Waugh announced that Varley would start Friday morning. Later it comes out that Patrick Waugh doesn't make the decisions as far as who starts in goal. Mm-hmm. It's Francois Allaire. So that was kind of interesting. I'm sure there's some collaboration there, some communication, but
nobody goes to Francois Allaire and says, hey, who's starting in that? They go to Patrick Waugh because Patrick Waugh's the coach and he's going to give you the quote.
Maybe they're just trying to diffuse some stuff or whatever.
Well, you know, and we talked a little bit about it already. You got to go to work at some point, you know, but it's a hockey decision.
Some people do.
Unless he's not going to be able to stop the puck because he's in his own head.
Right. Go for it.
Stop the puck.
He's your number one.
Yeah.
Paul Stastny with a goal in the first period. The Avalanche outshoot the Stars 13-4. You knew the Stars would be back. Mm-hmm. Landeskog scores his fourth goal of the season late in the second. The Avalanche lead 2-0 going into the third. Mm-hmm. They give up two goals in the third, one by Seguin and one by some other guy. Paul Stastny scores the game winner in OT. He's doing a lot of the Joe Sakic stuff where I'm going to skate with you, Mr. Defenseman. I'm going to put it in your skates a little bit, and I'm going to shoot it right past your ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually worked pretty well for him.
I think this was the one where Stastny pulled his stick right into his mm-hmm. feet and shot it. And just how much power he got.
Yeah.
Just a little toe drag in closer to his skates to get the angle.
You change the angle.
You change the angle, but man, how much power he got on that shot just from pulling it in there.
That was great.
That's exciting a hard stuff. Shot to make.
It is. Yeah. While Stastny can do it, though. He showed it.
He can.
In this game, Stastny, Tange, and Landy line is great to watch. And you added something here, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it on the Preds.
Okay.
Because it's a little more a
on the O'Reilly
fresh.
Goal?
The O'Reilly goal and the Parento goal. But in this, you know, very simple. Keep your stick on the ice. Keep your stick on the ice. Keep your stick on the ice. And we're going to talk about it a little more in the Predators game when we cover that. But but a couple of the goals here just were quick decisions from sticks being on the ice and being ready.
The O'Reilly goal was one, which we'll talk about here in a couple games, mm-hmm. where I noticed all the angles. Mm-hmm. Where it was Parento feeding O'Reilly on his right where his stick was, but it was kind of on his back skate.
A little bit of drop.
And he did the Hayduke just against the grain. You know, he got the pass from the left, but then shot at the left part of the net as the goalie's trying to transition mm-hmm. out. Just pretty stuff. Milan Hayduke stuff. Stat du jour from Stan Aratka on Twitter at this particular point, November 1st. The Colorado Avalanche were the only team in the NHL that had every one of its 20 skaters being a plus on the season. That's no longer the case. Maxime Talbot is now a -1, but he brings his plus minus with him.
Yeah.
From, this is totally different. November 2nd, the Avalanche beat the Canadiens 4-1. Adam Foote has his jersey retired before the game. Adam Foote speech, very Adam Foote. A lot of credit to everybody.
Wait, he punched somebody?
Yeah. He roughed up everybody that was near him. Bless you.
Thank you.
Made Joe Sakic blush as far as Adam Foote said he'd never say this in front of anybody at any time except for now. He said Joe Sakic is the best offensive forward that he ever played with. And Sakic hates it. You can tell he doesn't like being talked about that way, but eat it up anyway, Joe. You're awesome. Peter Forsberg, Ray Bourque, Alexei Gusarov all in the house. That was kind of fun. Jiggy solid. Cody McLeod, his first game back from a 5-game suspension, gets into a fight in the first period, mm-hmm. along with Patrick Bortolo, mm-hmm. takes on the stash, who shaved his stash.
Boston. Yep. Paros, he shaved his stash for Movember.
He did.
I am growing mine for Movember.
It's pretty sexy.
Thank you. Nice little Fu Manchu going.
Little Fu. All right, did you say you're going to keep it a Fu or not?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, unless I just decide to go really crazy and just go with the sweet stash after and like just go with the straight mustache. I've never done a straight mustache, so.
Probably don't want to do that for maybe more than a week. You'll end up on some FBI watch list. let's see. Landeskog opens the scoring in the second mm-hmm. With a goal. The Avalanche give up a power play goal in the third. It was the first power play goal they had given up, and I think 22 or 23 chances. I wasn't necessarily counting, but that's how long it had been. Alex Tanguy also left this game with a knee injury in the second period after colliding with Gabriel Landeskog. Did you see jersey fouls?
Oh, Mandiskog.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That's pretty bad.
But he ran into Landeskog, which is not a good thing to do. We know how strong Landeskog is, and he hurt his knee. He's out for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah. There was a big shout out to my friend Bill Robb. I was driving. There is a 14-hour drive. I don't know if you knew this. A 14-hour drive from Tucson to Denver. I got in at 1:40 in the morning, and so I was too far away to pick up Mosier with the game.
Okay.
But I was talking to my friend Bill Robb, who is not a gigantic hockey fan, but he's very excited right now because, you know, Avs.
Jump on.
Avs, baby.
Jump on.
And he called the game to me. Of course, he doesn't know much about the game. He doesn't know any of the players.
I'm sure that was
so
classic.
He's calling names or he's calling numbers more than anything. And they're going into the zone and they it's along the right wing and there's a shot. Oh,
the hockey term, hockey cliche.
It's coming back out. It was absolutely
that sounds gold
hilarious and so worth it. So big shout out to my buddy Bill Robb, who called a lot of that game for me and kept me going on my drive back home.
Excellent.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Nathan MacKinnon, Ryan O'Reilly, and Pa Parent with the empty netter to mm-hmm. seal the deal. A lot of energy in the building. Great night.
Yeah, last time they had a retirement ceremony, they played the Wings and lost.
Yeah, that's
so. Let's play a team that they have a chat against.
But also had to put in the Red Wings thing. He said it was great to have all the fans there, especially when the Avalanche would kick the Wings' ass. So mm-hmm. there you go. That got a big round of applause. Obviously,
we talked to last podcast. We mentioned Elliot Friedman and his 30 Thoughts column. And
we
folks,
did.
If you're not reading that thing on a weekly basis, it's great. Very smart guy. And, of course, he had some stuff to say about the Avs. And this stood out to me from the November 6th column. Second point, then his third point. Two, Manny Malhotra on Tuesday's win, which broke a 5-game losing streak. We needed it because our guys were playing the system, making high-percentage plays and trusting the process. I've been around long enough to know that's what you have to do. We stuck with it and were rewarded. As he was saying that, I thought about the Colorado Avalanche in Edmonton. And his third point. Here's a snippet of why the Avalanche are playing so well. With 14:37 to go in the second period of Saturday's 4-1 win over the Montreal Canadiens, Avalanche defenseman Ryan Wilson leads the rush. Watch how Ryan O'Reilly covers him at the blue line when Wilson is cut off. P.A. Parento sees O'Reilly chase the play, so he waits to make sure he is above the puck in case of a turnover. O'Reilly forces a quick pass, which Wilson intercepts. If he missed it, Parento was in a position to cover. It all results in a Canadiens penalty. That is, quote-unquote, playing the system, as Malhotra said. So the guy,
credit.
You know, yeah. Obviously, guys are buying in. That's still really smart hockey. You still have to watch what your defensemen are doing. And when you trust your forwards enough, you're to cover, then that's when your defensemen pinch. When your defensemen pinch, you have to be aware enough to look at who's covering and doing what. And keep in mind that oftentimes it is a center's responsibility more than anything to cover for the D. But, having that awareness and knowing who's down low, the winger's going to do it too at times. P.A. Parento, I wouldn't necessarily call a defensive offenseman.
No.
But, being aware of assignments, watching where everybody's going.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't watch a ton of hockey, when you see a defenseman pinch in, which is go help in the corner, mm-hmm. go a little deeper in the offensive zone. Pay attention to who goes back, because it's something that the guys sometimes you don't even see them communicated about it. They mm-hmm. just rotate.
Yep.
And you'll get a forward out on the blue line until the defenseman's able to make it back to where they need to be in position.
If you want textbook pinching, when to pinch, how to do it, and when to get back, The number one person to look at to me is mid-2000s Mike Commodore. That guy was in his better days, especially when the Canes won the cup. He was a textbook example on how to
absolutely
pinch.
You'll see Jan Hayda do it every once in a while. I think the Avalanche player that you'll see pinch most often or join the rush, mm-hmm. touching iPads, is Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson. Now I don't know if he should be joining the rush or pinching as much as he does, but he's usually the most aggressive to go with that. But
you know, and a pinch is a lot different than just going in and joining the play and getting down low and becoming a forward. A pinch is I'm going to go down, on the half boards, get about halfway down, make a play, and maybe get back
or keep the puck in.
Yeah,
you know, it's that decision that the defensemen need to make. Should I go after this puck and try and keep it in the zone, or should I be a defender and back up?
Yeah.
And they make that decision. Every defenseman probably probably 15, 20 times a game.
It's one of those things that's a percentage thing. And you see a lot, especially some newer hockey fans say, why didn't he stay down low?
Yeah.
Why is he starting to back up before the puck is even out of the zone? Because you have to stay ahead of the guys, and that's a percentage play.
I say it's the other way around, where most people who aren't noticing the nuances that you notice after as long as we've watched, when they screw it up and it ends up as a three. No, it ends up as a 3-on-1 going the other way. Why did he do that? You know, stuff like that. I would never argue with you.
Why would you argue with me?
Is the show over? November 6th, the Avalanche lose to the Preds. You want
to
have another fight? You want to drop them?
I
don't have them. Do you have your gloves? We need gloves to drop.
I have two pairs of gloves. I can loan you one.
Okay.
All right.
A little while. All right. The Avalanche lose to the Avalanche lose to the Preds 6-4. Boo.
Boo.
The Avalanche are definitely flat. Their defense just kind of flat-footed most of the game. Varley not quite at his best, couldn't quite bail him out. Sloppy play by the Avalanche defense, and the Avs never lead in this one. Matt Duchene was fantastic, though. He gave his team a chance. I think the Avalanche trailed four times in this game. They came and tied it up. They tied it at 1, tied it at 3, tied it at 4. The Preds were the Preds. This is a Barry Trotz team. They play well, and that's what they do. They're going to give a solid effort every night. But what happens is, you know, you don't play well enough to win. You're not going to win most nights. Mm-hmm. And the Avs didn't win this one. So James has some more stuff, and we'll talk about
we were
celebrations.
Talking about sticks on the puck, or sticks on the ice. Keeping your stick on the ice is the number one way to get a pass. It tells your teammates I'm ready for a pass.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you try and just meet the, you know, it's not like hitting a baseball. You don't meet the puck to catch a pass.
Right.
You do that on a one timer. Yeah. Your stick is up and you slap it. But for a pass, you want your stick on the ice and ready to do something quickly with the puck.
Shh. We're trying to do a show here.
Apparently there's an emergency.
Rude. Couldn't they wait?
We'll see if that actually gets on the tan. Little sirens.
Yes.
All right. So, In the NHL and pretty much anywhere that you play hockey at any level, but especially in the NHL, you have to be ready to do something with the puck quickly. That's not just a decision, but getting it, catching it well, usually if you can, closer to the heel of your stick.
Sure.
All kinds of technical things like that. Not just because the goalie's going to get over quicker than and take away your shot, but also a shooting lane or a passing lane is going to get absorbed by whoever's defending you. So keeping your stick on the ice is really just fundamental. And at first, it's hard to be aware of that when you start playing. And then, you know, as you get better and you don't have to worry about what your feet are doing or your upper body is doing, it's easier to keep your stick down. So the PA Parento goal was a 2-on-1, played beautifully by the defender.
Absolutely.
Stay between the two guys, cut off the pass, give the shooter to the goalie. And
they've played against a lot of backups.
Rene's out with a hip infection. Yeah, he had E. coli in his hip.
In the hip bone.
In the hip.
Between like Cam Ward and Rene being out, it's like, who are these guys?
Yeah. It really has been. And Ducks, same thing.
There's something wrong.
I think
wrong.
Hiller's out right now.
Is he?
They've had a backup going that's been doing really well. Flames, it's kind of a who's that of goaltending. It's not who's who, it's a who's that.
What?
So anyways, you've got Matt Duchene coming down with Pierre Parento on his wing, and they're pretty much side by side with the defender right between them. Defender lays out to take away the pass. Awesome. Great. Except you've got Matt Duchene, who makes a nice little move and gets around the guy. Now, Matt Duchene, he can snipe it from in close and still score, so he's a threat. But he decides to go around the defender and get the pass across. And it was a beautiful pass. That was awesome. But if Parento hadn't had a stick on the ice, he couldn't have done something fast with it and scored.
Well, it would have been lifted really quickly, too.
Ryan O'Reilly. Anybody, you were talking about the O'Reilly goal earlier.
Yeah. Oh.
P.A. Parento's coming down. It's basically, I think it's a 3-on-2. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of playing the triangle. You've got O'Reilly high, Matt Duchene on the right, Parento on the left.
I love that triangle.
And they're coming in, and Matt Duchene, stick on the ice, ready for anything. O'Reilly, stick on the ice, ready for anything. And what does Parento do? Nice little drop pass. Barely, it wasn't even really a drop. It really was a backhand pass behind him more than anything else. And Ryan O'Reilly fires it home, stick on the ice, ready to do something, and anticipates that the puck can come to you at any moment.
Same thing in the Flames game they just played. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the same. It was a very, very similar play. It wasn't quite on the rush, but it was Parento on the far side, O'Reilly in the slot, and just eye contact, stick on the ice, puck where it needs to be, and it's gone.
Couple of times that happened in the first five games. We saw it several times closer to the goal line. Those cross ice passes in right, like what, a foot in front of the crease, maybe. Yep. But you'd have, and that was Downey was doing this well. Keeping the stick down,
right.
Catch it and throw it in on the net. And sometimes it works. Sometimes
something good will happen from that.
When you're coming, when that goalie is gonna has to shove from left to right, right to left, you know, and just push off and go across. Chances are he's not going to have the upper part of the net as covered as the lower part. If you can lift that thing.
Well, that's what O'Reilly did against the Flames. It was against the grain too. He went back to where the goalie came from, and that is a rough position for a goaltender. A lot of chemistry we're seeing from this, really the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of credit this year. A lot of, you know, hey, I scored, I'm excited, but I'm going to point at the guy who just gave me the puck because that was a fantastic pass.
Pia Parento and Ryan O'Reilly, both of them, because they were great passes. That got them, you know, and their teammates is like, hey, nice job to you.
That's right.
It wasn't a big, hey, I shot that home right on, but it wasn't
like,
it was Matt Duchene in that game had a great individual effort. He celebrated, you know, he was pumped.
And that's
fine. Yeah.
Literally pumped.
Yeah.
He did the we're going to go to the playoffs, Vancouver, bang, 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 bang on one knee thing. That was great.
It was awesome. It was great.
Fantastic goal.
You know, I mean, too much is always made of celebrations in general, but you know, when you celebrate your teammates, that's how any team doing anything. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you do, sports, business, life, friends, whatever. You celebrate the people that you do the thing with.
I love to see
that. That's awesome.
Love to see it.
And would we have seen that last season? Heck no.
Not near as much. There's a lot more to celebrate, and it's contagious.
It is. Absolutely. You know, winning teams win, and the losing teams are going to win at some point. They have to win a game at some point. Even the Sabres occasionally win a game. Even the Sabres. Yeah. They've won three. They've lost 16, but they've won three.
All right.
You know, that's still – you still do what you got to do, but – That's how a team should be.
It's good stuff.
No matter what team.
That never gets old seeing that.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It doesn't happen near enough in I know pro sports.
So I had a weird one the other night in my over 40 league. It was near the end of the game. We're down 2-1. We're 6-on-5 and I'm playing defense and I don't know what happened to stoppage, you know, goalie covered the puck or something like that. And the ref comes up, he's like, "Hey, about 20 seconds left." I'm like, "Okay, cool." You know, he's just let us know there's only 20 seconds left in the game. And he said, "Nice play by the point, by the way." The ref said that. I was like, "Thank you." Cool.
And then if you're playing center, he drops the puck and you're like,
Hey,
we were celebrating, weren't we?
Big fist pump, buddy.
November 8th, earlier in the day, the Florida Panthers fire their head coach as well as their assistants because it's the coach's problems.
Yeah.
So we had a little conversation. I didn't know. I hadn't seen any information on Twitter about Florida firing their entire coaching staff. So James tweeted, go ahead.
My tweet was, "Second lowest payroll, hasn't bothered to build a team in years, throws darts at available players for a roster." Sure, it's the coach's fault.
And right. this was pre this season, Jay saying, "Are you talking about the Avs here in some way, shape, or form?" And it would have been maybe a couple years ago.
No, yeah. Panthers, because the Avs actually have the lowest payroll. They have bothered to build a team. They've actually been picking team-wise rather than just, you know, oh, look at that guy. Seth Jones versus MacKinnon. There's a good example. We're building a team here. Seth Jones probably would have been a great building block for the team also, but they made a decision based on what they felt was best at the time for a team. Nothing against Seth Jones. just that there were team decisions going on rather than just, hey, let's look at the standings and pick who's available.
Yeah. I mean, McKinnon's look great too.
Yeah.
His numbers don't scream I'm awesome, but you watch the kid skate, you see his vision, you see the way he's able to not only take some shots in difficult areas, but also distribute the puck. Mm-hmm. You can see he's going to, I think, yeah. You know, depending on health, he's going to be great for a long time.
None of this is to say that coaching doesn't matter, obviously. I mean, look at what Patrick Waugh has been doing with the team and how he's helped turn the culture around, blah, right. blah, blah. But it isn't just the coach. It's, you know, when you're...
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. It you deal sure with, is. You know, if you have to fire your whole coaching staff, you're mostly doing it just because you cannot fire your entire roster. You know, it's just, you can't.
You can't.
So...
They would if they could.
Yeah. More rebuilding necessary.
Ugh. And that puts you back. As long as it takes to build anything up, it takes that much long, probably twice as long to build it back up, and yeah. they just had to start over. November 8th, Ryan Wilson, it was announced he left, I guess, which game was it? The Preds game with a back yeah. injury. He will be, I wonder if, this is kind of an ongoing trend with the Avs. I haven't heard this term very much, but maybe it's a Patrick Waugh thing. Out for a while, will be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Mm.
Could mean Could they're be. Out for 3 months, but they'll be again, reevaluated every couple weeks.
Yeah, what did he say? Okay, he's got a back injury. That's not a lower body, it's not an upper body. We're actually saying what it is. We're actually telling you that he's going to be out.
Yeah.
You know, in years past, what was it? Oh yeah, he had surgery on that 3 weeks ago. We're mm-hmm. going.
Yeah, Jan Hayda was one. Jan Hayda won't be there for the beginning of the year. What?
Yeah,
he had surgery.
Yeah, exactly.
So Ryan Wilson will be out for a couple weeks. Here's my shocked face.
Yeah, let's see your shocked face. It looks exactly like your regular face.
But I moved my eyes to the left. Never mind.
Yeah, it's they're gonna retire 44 to the IR.
Between he and
I wonder if there is like a if like on the IR if there is actually like rafters and there's banners up there.
44 has got to be one of the leaders.
Yep, 44.
Good for him. There it is.
Yep.
November 8th.
Can I just say
absolutely
the name Curtis Lecision?
Sure.
Just wanted to say Lecision. Thanks. Go ahead.
It's fun to spell. All right. November 8th, the Avalanche beat the Flames 4-2. TJ Gagliardi, David Jones, as well as Shane O'Brien, all back in Pepsi Center.
Mm-hmm. Playing against former Flames, Tange and Saric.
Tange was out, but Saric is there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was like an old reunion.
Yeah,
David Jones took a penalty in the second period. Everybody really liked that a lot.
Really shocked.
Yay.
You know, I forgot that Gagliardi was playing for the Flames.
I forgot too.
Because he was with the Sharks before.
I forgot too. He was. Good for him. Galley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he didn't get hit in the Gagliardis during the game, though.
Still an NHL player.
I love that
term. Do you believe it? The Gagliardis.
Good for him. Yeah. Jiggy ties the Avalanche record by starting the season with 5 straight wins.
Nice.
Matt Duchene. Unbelievable as usual. He scores an empty netter from almost the seat of his pants. Place goes crazy. Also goals, the one that I've described a couple times during the show by Ryan O'Reilly. Paul Stastny with a goal on the power play, and John Mitchell from the slot proves to be the game winner.
You know, the question win. Is going to be, and you know, it's not fair to ask it just yet, but since it's probably going to be another 2 to 3 weeks before we have another
thing.
Yeah. Is Varlamov going to get overworked, especially considering that there's a tighter stretch coming up? But I'd say that Jaguar is getting the right amount of work for him.
If he keeps playing like that, it's easy just to say, yeah, we'll go with either one. What's better than one strong goaltender? Two. Mm-hmm. There it is.
Especially two goaltenders that are not in competition for who's the number one, who's the number two. It's obvious that Varlamov is the number one. Jaguar is the number two. They're both comfortable with it. You don't have these controversies like you do in places like Toronto. Oh, speaking of Toronto, of course, the people start saying that the Leafs are looking for a center, and whose name comes up?
Of course, Stastny, whose name comes up.
Even though they really don't have the cap space for it.
No.
What they do have, obviously, is a very good trading relationship with the Avs because
they
keep taking defensemen from them.
Lyle's finger.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's look at the standings, shall we?
Big meat.
These big sexy.
Oh, big sexy. That's
big
right.
meat. Big meat.
You know,
still
I get
here.
Confused with which.
Big, which know. Big?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big squash.
Squash. Big stick.
Big truck. Shrek.
This is Big Shrek. Standings in the Western Conference. The Avalanche now sit second, but they also have 3 games in hand on the Ducks, who are 14-3-1. Basically, like I said earlier in the show, the Avalanche have 26 out of 30 points, but they have plenty of company towards the top of the standings. So
Ducks are on fire.
The Ducks are on. There's a lot of teams that are on fire. I mean, the Blackhawks are 11-2-4.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix is 12-4-2. St. Louis at this point is 11-2-2, and San Jose's 10-2-4. I mean, there's holy cow. The top like eight teams are within 5 points of each other. Mm-hmm. As hot as the Avalanche have been, and like I said, though, they have a couple games in hand on most of the teams except for St. Louis. I mean, it's going to be, you know, you can't really slow down a whole lot. Got to keep the pace going for sure.
Look at Dallas. They're 11th right now, and they're 8-7-2.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Once we get a little further away from all this cross conference play, things will start to separate a little bit more because. You know, it's like every day is Halloween for the Eastern Conference, and they're just giving away free candy.
Well, there's no, I mean, Tampa Bay's tops in the Eastern Conference. They're 12-4. They have 24 points. That ties them with five other like Western Conference teams in the league standing. So it's pretty crazy. The Avalanche, let's see, they have 50 goals for and only 27 goals against, which is pretty fantastic as well. Some defensive hockey as well as scoring a lot of goals will. Win you a lot of games, so
yeah, they're tied with San Jose right now for highest goal differential at +23.
And as far as the points go, the way the Avalanche have started, I kind of liken this to a golf tournament. I mean, I don't know whether I said this last show or not, but you can't seal a playoff spot early in the year, but you can definitely lose one. If the Avalanche were 2-13 right now, they'd have a ton of work to do. Ask the Sabres. But the Avalanche are 13-2. Like I said, they have 26 points that aren't going to be taken away from them. People are already starting to do the math because we're getting towards a quarter of the way through the year. If the Avalanche play .500 hockey, they should be able to make the playoffs this year. I don't want to jinx anything, but that's kind of a good place to be, especially only 15 games in.
The Avalanche are one of only three teams that have not gone to the shootout. The other two, the Rangers and the Flyers.
Interesting.
Because they like to lose early and lose often.
We like that.
Just like voting in Chicago.
Did you see, by the way, David Ortiz, who's the first baseman for the Red Sox, finished third in the mayoral race?
No.
People wrote him in, and he was third. So good for Big Poppy.
Is he? He isn't even a U.S. citizen.
The people speak.
Is he?
I think he's a citizen, but he's not from here either. Okay. Good for
him. Dominican Republic, right?
Yeah. Way to go. Good job, Boston.
Yeah, nice job.
Matt Duchene, 18 points. Through 15 games, he's third in the league in goals scored with 11. Like I said, he's just been great.
Can I just say the name Menino?
Menino?
Because it's fun.
You can.
Okay.
You just did.
Thanks.
Way to go. But the Avalanche just looking good. We like it. We approve of it. And we're happy about it.
Avs Hockey Podcast approved.
It's much easier to be able to talk about a team playing like this than it is to try and entertain ourselves like we have in the past. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of hockey to talk about, and we like that. Would you like to do, are we ready to move on with some shout outs?
Yeah, let's do some shout outs.
You want to start or you want me to? You already, what was your buddy's name?
Which buddy?
The announcer on the phone.
Matt Duchene?
No, Jim.
Bob Jim.
The guy that was on the phone describing the game for you.
Oh, Bill Robb.
Bill Robb, yes.
Bill Robb, yeah. He's got two first names, kind of like Ryan Lewis with Macklemore. Change one. Jeez, pick a first name, dude.
Lewis Berg? Yes.
Is Berg his last name?
No, Lewis Berg would be his name. Oh. Shout out to Jeff Ponder from the Bash Brothers podcast for having us on. Talked about it last. So we had a good time.
Yeah.
Got us in the podcasting mood.
We had a good time.
Oh, Toronto Maple Leafs guy we have to get back to.
Oh, yeah.
But Toronto Maple Leafs podcast would like to have us on to talk about Avalanche hockey, and we're really excited about
that. Yeah, do you guys listen to those things? If we say to you, hey, we were on this thing, do you guys actually go there and listen? Let us know. Curious? Yeah.
Wait, maybe they're saying you're in now. Let's listen.
They're not.
I don't hear anything.
This isn't live.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Big shout out to Derek and Ryan, Avs Rock and Avs Guy 19 on Twitter, respectively, from Albuquerque. They said they'd already met you, but they were in town for the Canes and the Jets games. They came upstairs during the Canes game and said hi. So big shout out to those guys. It was cool meeting you guys. Thanks. Meet up on November 2nd for Adam Foot Night. Jake and Vince, my hockey jersey head guys. Huffy was also there. What's up, Huffy? We were all drooling over each other's jerseys.
He's called Huffy because he huffs paint.
He does.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ted was there as well.
He huffs Gold Bond medicated powder, actually. That's his. Oof. Gets him high.
Ouch, that would hurt. Really, Mary Lloyd also, thanks for coming by. Riley Epps, all the way from Toronto, came down just to watch, just to take part in one of the practices. Not take part, but he was there watching one of the practices. Got a ton of autographs, he said. Nice. And he was also there for the last game the Avalanche played against the Flames. He came up and said hi. He was a fan of the show, so it was good to see Riley. And he had a question. Why do fans wear hockey jerseys from other teams at the game? And I know we've talked about this in the past.
We have.
It doesn't bug you near as much. It doesn't bother me, but as people walk by, I'm like,
Why are they wearing
Blackhawks practice jersey?
Mm-hmm. You know what? If for some reason a job moved me to Detroit and they said that part of it was that I got Red Wings season tickets, I would be that guy every game. I would wear something that wasn't a Red Wings jersey. And if I had the opposing team, baby.
Would you be like, because I could wear an Avalanche jersey every night there. Mm-hmm. Dun,
dun, dun, you dun. Could, actually, because you have so many.
Be like, Red Wings suck. And you could say that all game long.
They're
terrible.
I think it's more silly to wear a football jersey to a hockey
game. Or a baseball.
If you're wearing a hockey jersey, you're wearing a hockey jersey. I wear Avs jerseys to Avs games. I wear the home team. If I'm like out and about at some other, traveling somewhere, I'm going to wear something that's either a fun or be a conversation starter.
That's fine.
Johnstown Chiefs are a good conversation starter. My Russian ones, especially my Lokomotiv or Moscow Dynamo. Cincinnati Cyclones. Amazing how much play that jersey. Like, people will come up to me, especially people who work for minor league teams, they come up all the time.
That's cool.
You know, I was wearing one time. I was wearing my Cincinnati Cyclones one, and a guy came up and said, "Is that Dean Stork's jersey?" And yeah, sure.
Wow.
Yes, it is. He's like, "Oh yeah, I used to play with that guy."
That's cool.
You know, so
do you wear your Franken jerseys?
I don't have any Franken jerseys.
Have I told you about the Walker Franken jersey?
Oh yeah, the baseball.
Yeah, had one on a couple games. Now that's the one I want to go down in the lower bowl and drop the gloves with it.
But you know what? That was sold. That was an actual jersey that was made. It was a baseball jersey that was half Colorado Rockies baseball and half Colorado Avalanche looking baseball. And it was R-O-Y
on the Avalanche half.
And then K-E-R on the Rockies half because of Walker, the baseball player. Yeah, it's pretty... Yeah, when it's officially sold by...
That's painful.
So, you know what? If you're wearing a hockey jersey, I don't care. You're fine. As long as it's not that guy who wears the Blues jersey, that tight hipster.
Yeah, you got angry. You got angry that night.
You know, I wasn't really
angry. Look at that hipster. Look at him drinking.
They don't sell PBR you're still angry. At the Pepsi Center.
You are still angry.
That guy with his skinny jeans and his horn-rimmed glasses and his way too tight.
And his shoes.
Yeah. Blues jersey. Was it Backus?
I don't know. You're still angry about it.
You after know what? All if these years. If you wore a Shattenkirk Blues jersey to an Avs game, I'd be okay with it.
There was a Shattenkirk Avalanche jersey there last game.
That's great.
Just stuff I noticed.
You know, it's fine. I think as long as you're wearing a jersey, you're okay.
Okay.
Just wear it and don't, because here's the thing. You and I collect. Okay. I've got close to 80 jerseys in my closet right now. How many do you have?
A lot more than that. I have more than that.
Okay. You just don't want me to feel bad. Is that what it is?
No.
You don't know the number?
I know the...
You don't want to look crazy?
I know the Avalanche number.
How many?
I'm already crazy.
How many Avs numbers?
It's over 120.
Okay. But most people, they can't just go buy a jersey one time. And you know what? If you have a really nice practice jersey, player worn jersey, authentic jersey, something cool like that. And you'd rather wear that than go buy a garbagey,
the fakes are terrible. Yeah, there's a large handful of just counterfeits, and that's a whole other conversation.
Would you rather see a guy? This is a question for you, Jay.
No, I don't.
Would you rather see a guy wear a Blackhawks practice jersey in Avs game that the Blackhawks aren't playing at, or a Patrick Waugh blueberry?
Oh.
Ooh.
No, I'm going with A for sure.
Okay, see? So, go with the high percentage play. Just wear a hockey jersey, whatever it is. And you know what? If it's more unusual, that's better, I think, than wearing, another NHL team. But you know what? Who cares? Just wear what you want.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you clucking, big chicken.
All right.
All right. The Avs Hockey Podcast is also on Google Plus. Now, I haven't done a lot with it, and hey, if you're on Google Plus, I still can't customize the URL for it, so it's just like this big long monstrosity. But I think you have to be on there a certain amount of time or have a certain amount of action before you can. I could always use Google URL shortener, but whatever. But it's on Google Plus right now, so just search for the Avs Hockey Podcast and add me to a circle. And I'm learning more and more about Google Plus as I go on, with podcast stuff and also professionally. So, I don't want to post things 8 different places, and I'm not quite sure what kind of a feel the Google Plus page is going to have. But if you're on Google Plus and you're listening to this and you want to hit that add me to a circle button,
in other words, if you work for Google and listen to us,
it'll add to my motivation a little bit. So it's all good. Right on. Shout outs, James.
Bill Rob. That was it.
Right on.
The rest of y'all are punks.
You said that all gangster.
I'm sorry. No, I should have punks. A few more shout outs, but it was a,
you'll have some tonight.
It was a lot. I was away for a bit. I had some stuff I had to go take care of, some family stuff. So, I really didn't have a lot of chance to interact with people, as much. So
you will tonight, and we'll have some shout outs next show.
Absolutely.
Bingo.
Bingo, bango, bongo.
All right.
Ready for me to do the thing?
Do the spiel.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com, where you can find a link to subscribe on iTunes, which is the easiest way to get the Avs Hockey Podcast whenever it comes out. You don't have to do nothing, no lifting fingers or anything. But if you wanted to lift a finger, you could lift 9 to 10 of them and make some comments on the site. Anything under our post for this, which is also going to have, of course, some videos. Some links about to things that we talked about, some of the people that we've tweeted about. There's also a link to get some curse word gear, curse word shirts, because geez, they're stylish. There's a link to the Twitter, to Jay's Twitter, which is at Avs Podcast, and to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Avs Hockey Podcast. No shortening, no nothing like that.
Nah.
You can find me on Twitter at Tape Leg, occasionally on my blog at jerseysandhockeylove.com. Ramping up my other podcast, The Rink. And I think that's roughly about. Oh, yeah. And we also have a phone number, which nobody's used because why would you? My goodness. 845-704-RINK. It's 845-704-7465.
Yes, sir.
Jay.
You can also email us, too.
You can also email. I always forget the email. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know.
Email us at avshockeypodcast@gmail.com. Also, there's a little. Oh, do we have a. No, we don't have a contact form on our site, do we? I should put one up. Why don't I have one?
We should do this.
Sorry about that. We'll put up a contact form on the blog because, yeah.
People are clamoring for it.
Cool thing that Jay did right before the foot game was he put up a post asking people, hey, who should we? What should I wear to the game? The number one thing that people said was, please wear pants for the love of God. Pants. Please wear pants.
Pants are good. Wasn't one of the options, but I have 4 white Adam Foote jerseys.
He has 4 pairs of pants.
2 are game worn, 2 are not. Mm-hmm. The big winner was the 2001 Stanley Cup Adam Foote, which obviously isn't game worn. But right. I appreciate everybody who went on
there.
Because
that would
be
like $150,000.
That would be a lot. I don't think I've ever seen, not long ago there was a Claude Lemieux 96 Stanley Cup game worn jersey.
Claude?
Claude Giroux.
C-L-O-D.
It depends on where you are in the world as far as how you'd like to say that. Stanley Cup game worn jersey. Mm-hmm. Those don't come along very often.
No, they don't.
James just got all giggly. It means it's time to go.
Claude.
That's how you say it.
C-L-O-D.
Claude with an E maybe.
Claude. C-L-O-D-E.
Claude. Oh, boy. I think it's time to go.
Hit it.
All right, man. We appreciate you listening. Thank you for the support. Thank you for your interaction. And we'll be back in your ear holes in a couple weeks.
This wasn't nearly as disjointed and jumbly as it first seemed like it was going to be when we started.
That's your opinion. I don't think your opinion counts on that. We'll have to let everybody else decide. But yeah, a couple weeks. Fist bump. And you already touched the iPad.
Boom.
We're all good. He touched it again. All right, Avs fans. Keep it going, Avs. This is a lot of fun. And hopefully they lose. I was thinking about that. Maybe the Avalanche lose one a podcast the whole year. That'll happen.
Could be.
Yeah. Either way.
Let's not get crazy here.
No. Crazier. All right. It's time to sign off. All right, you guys take care. Let's go, Avs, and we'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later.
You ever notice how every song about rock is not actually about rocking, but about being prepared to rock? That we're going to rock. I want to rock. I want to rock and roll all night and party every day. But it's not actually about, like, I am now rocking. Enjoy my rock. It's like you're rocking about how you want to rock.
So you can't actually sing about rocking while you're rocking.
That's correct. It doesn't happen, at least. How pretentious would that be, though? I mean, like, look at me rock now. And people are like...
Aren't you jealous?
Huh? Yeah, exactly. Well,
maybe it's an invitation to rock.
No, an invitation is the preemptive.
Well, that's what you're saying. I want to rock. I'm going to rock.
You should rock
with
me. I want to
rock with you all night long. Please join me.
I want to rock and roll all night and party every day. Mm-hmm. And yet, after this many years, if they haven't done it, maybe it's just not all it's cracked up to be. Maybe they're not very good at it at this point.
Or maybe they're so good that...
We just haven't noticed?
Maybe they're rock...
See, then they're just a bunch of jerks, and they're not having you along.
They're not inclusive.
No. It's not like Metallica when they...
Is there any past tense rocking song? Like, I rocked.
Look at how I rocked. So, like, it's like you play, I want to rock and roll all night and party every day, and then the next song would be...
But you can't join me.
I just did that. And you're like, hey, wait a minute.
And you suck because you missed it.
All I did was flip the record over, the vinyl, because, like... Okay, kids. That, mm-hmm. Here's a lesson.
You missed it. on the edge of the 45, yeah. That's where I actually rocked. You missed it.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. It was right there.
Thanks like for trying.
Spinning the coin. It's like,
yeah. Missed it.
Yeah. Didn't you see me over there rocking? No. I was looking right at you.
Nope.
No, I was rocking over there.
You missed
and
it.
Partying. Holy cow, man. You should
all
have been
all night.
Dude, I was there. I was like, I was staring right at you. Oh, it was awesome. Did you see that chick talking to me? It's just you and I in the room. What are you talking about?
You missed it.